Are we all? By God's grace, we are also fine. We are continuing with a series of lessons. We draw the theme one another. And actually, if you are this is the first time you worship him with us, you are most welcome. This is Church of Christ in Sawam Road, Accra.
We are Church of Christ in Sawam Road.
And it's our prayer that at the end you will be blessed. I am talking on the topic, we are members of one another. We've had a series of lessons from the theme, and I'm talking on we are one another today. And the passage is Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 5. Please, let's quickly read the passage. For I say through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as with many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Na honam mu akwa no nyina nni adwuma kro no sara nso na yeye bebre no ye nipadua kro Kristo mu na ye nyina yeye yenhu akwa makumaku.
Brethren, this is the message to the Church of Christ in Rome from Paul.
In your name, we are Sama Paul, Edekoma, Church of Christ, in Rome.
And from this, I begin to look at lessons we are drawing from this message.
Na efriwemu meso so mehwe adisie ebenya efrimu.
From the passage, the first message that we are sharing this morning is the grace of God. That is the principle behind adoption of man in Christ, even before creation, is being members of one another. Maybe you did not understand well. I'm saying the principle behind the adoption of man in Christ, even before creation, is being members of one another. Because the universe belongs to somebody and his son alone.
If you say, we are sinning now, you will be in the body.
The universe belongs to somebody and his son alone. And the Father created the universe through his only one son. And he created for him. So the entire universe belongs to somebody and his son. We have only one original son of God. Through whom we became adopted sons. Every human being from Adam is an adopted son of God. Because God has only one son. That is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There is no other son apart from him. He loves him so much that he has given everything to him. And Paul is reminding the church in Rome that they should not think highly of anything because it is by grace that we are adopted sons. However, the incomprehensible, incomparable, indescribable love of the Father and the Son led to the creation and adoption of men as adopted children, only through the Son, to share in the Son's glory.
Nansoso odo a ebro so na ye ntiasie na ye hunumu wie eno ene enam so ma nam Yesu adumunti oje ye nyina mi abeye mba.
When you read Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, he says that it is the purpose of God the Father and the Son that through the Son he will bring many sons and daughters into glory.
As
soon as you hear the word adoption, therefore, it should humble all of us. And so Paul was reminding them in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 5, that no one should think highly than what he is supposed to think. Because we are all adopted children.
If you say,
what do we have that we did not receive from the Father? All that we have is from him. And so in the context that they were talking about the spiritual gifts and talents, he was telling them that they should not boast about them, but to be members of one another. The Son could have enjoyed everything with the Father alone. He said, no, I want to be one members of one another with human beings. And so he created human beings in one another fashion. And so anybody who will not continue this one another in his body will not be complete in the adoption process. The second lesson is that the incomprehensible mercies and love of God through Christ have persuasive powers over our wills to be members of one another. What God has done for us through Jesus persuade us to be able to be members of one another automatically. Let me do a quickly overview of Romans chapter 1 to chapter 12 that we are talking about. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, mentioned the mercies of God that God had revealed, and Paul enumerated all of them in the books. The first was justification from guilt and penalty for sin. Then adoption in Jesus and identification with Christ. Then we are placed under grace and not law. He has given us the Holy Spirit to live within us and even guide our prayers. He has promise of help in all afflictions. He has given us assurance of a standing in God's election. He has given us confidence in coming glory. Confidence of no separation from the love of God. Confidence in God's continued faithfulness. Brethren, these are some of the things Paul listed from Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11 regarding the mercies of God that he has given to us. And so when he reached Romans chapter 12, he wants to say, in light of all this mercy, past, present, and future, Paul begs us, so I entreat you with the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Therefore, unlike the other people who are not Christians, they sacrifice in order to receive mercy. Paul is saying the other way around, that no, looking at all that God has done for us, it should have persuasive power over our wills to be able to present our body as living sacrifice. In fact, in all Christianity, if you don't know this, you will not never be empowered to be able to sustain your faith in Christ. That is why some people refer to Romans chapter 12 as the small Bible within the Bible. It summarizes all that we need to know to empower us to be able to sustain our love in Christ. So Paul said, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. The third thing that we are learning from this lesson is Romans chapter 12 verse 3. That is also in verse 2. That says, transforming and renewing our minds. Transforming and renewing our minds. We may ask ourselves, we have heard so many lessons as we've been hearing. We've tried to be Christians, to be members of one another. Paul was telling them that, do you know why you are not able to sustain this thing you started? You are not able to transform and renew your minds. Because when it is only when you transform and renew your minds that your abilities to be members of one another will be sustained.
If we say, "Womra, what me anya sa ajimu fufoye no enumu ansana moye mohu mohu baaku baaku no enu etimi ejina."
So do not be conformed to the world.
Enu ti mu nya mohu se riase.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Nemu munti sa womu
ajimu fufoye. Don't think as the world thinks.
Mu nyuni se de riase ejuni.
Don't imagine things as the world imagines.
So he's
trying to say that separate yourself and think differently. Because man is a free moral agent. Created in the image of God to have the ability to make choices. And in no way will God overrule that free gift of choice from us. And so when we make up our mind that we want our minds to be transformed, think differently, then the Holy Spirit begins in the understanding. And
it's
carried on to our will. Our affections, our conversation, till there is a total change of the whole man into the likeness of God in knowledge. Thus, to be godly is to give up ourselves to God. Then we go to lesson 4. From Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 5. The question is, how can we be transforming and renewing the mind to be able to be members of one another? And we're going to look at about three things we can do. The first thing is renewal of minds about prejudice against one another. Overcoming prejudice against one another, we need to change our minds. And when we talk of prejudice, we are talking about that's pre, before, and Judas judgment. Having no facts, but you've already judged the person in your mind. A lot of us are not able to have one another's because we have prejudged ourselves, so many of our brethren, in our mind secretly. Let something happen and it comes out and you see. And so Jesus Christ identified this same root cause of the problem of the Pharisees and the Sadducees as prejudice.
Jesus Christ odin kan hu sa o ha wi mpo e wo Pharisees ni Sadducees fo ni mu. Say ye din kan bo e yo bi atan po ansa.
In John chapter 8 verse 15 to 17, Jesus told them that I don't judge as you Pharisees you judge.
Na Jesus Christ o ka chom say me dia mi mu ten say dia mo mo ye.
You judge according to flesh.
Mu eni so na mu bu
atan. But my judgment is right.
Na mo me dia maten ye ni dia.
Because I am not alone, my Father is with me.
If you say me dear, enye me nko ane mo meja no e kame.
And so Jesus was telling them that it is not for you to judge.
Jesus talk catch him say enye wo wo bi ane say u be yin kwa ten.
Or have a prejudicial attitude towards a brother or sister.
Na say u be din kan enya sa suban say u din kan egbu nkofo aten.
Let me quickly mention some of these prejudicial things that sometimes we are not aware that it is with us, and it is not enabling us to have that one another at all.
My meaning can be cancer, and you may need to be. Ah,
The first thing is you should try to avoid devil's effects.
You did cancer. Mumeni mbo mani si ebe yefu ho bonsam ninsu sanso a eba yensuno.
By devil's effects, we mean you don't draw a general impression about an individual on the basis of a single characteristic. Most often a negative characteristic.
Yeah, and say, "Mo my am funny panu ni suma ba kubi a enye bi mfem bunina ni panina sa o we dia o ye boni."
In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 28, David was sent to send parched corn or food to his brethren who were on the field fighting.
Someone woman ni David yasuma ni say onfa aduane enkoma ni nuanu a omo akono.
And when he went there, because the brethren had a prejudicial attitude towards him, they started to talk harshly to him. What do you want here? We know your arrogance, your pride. And the fact that you want to watch this war, that's why you are here. Whom do you leave that few sheep in the bush for?
And I'm saying, you didn't care about the attendance. Almost at him, poor Ekasai said, ah. Ubaba, ubahaba, yeah, then. And I'm so repent of Kwani Biabirinti. And the way you're in Wabaha. In Yankee, you're in your mind, a better one.
But David said that, is there not a cause? There is a cause. The whole nation of Israel are hiding. Even King Saul is hiding under a bed because of Goliath. And I'm asking what is happening, and you are saying, because he's being judged by just one thing. And in the minds of the brothers, he is an entity, arrogant, proud. But that wasn't the case.
Now David can say, ah, but I be now. We are saying Israel may now make a quote. Umpo hine sola tete. Now they will be jina hana wakikandi opeche. Now say say Israel. A kwenye ni hose mebaha.
So in your opinion, a negative characteristic of a brother or a sister that you use to characterize him forever is not enabling you to have the one another very well. And the word of God is saying, avoid it from today.
And unti na omu wasa adwini bwone no efa David huna. Yesu sa na Yesu say, yenye biifa yinu yanu mu. The church in Canada say,
again, avoid past behavior effects.
That
is, don't allow a past behavior of people to be used to judge them on their present behavior. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26 to 27, Saul had a great deal to be accepted as Paul by the early Christians in Rome.
As my phone man Paul, onya ne ho chi ni ye say in yanu begina tum say what afi wa sakra ababeye Paul.
Because they knew him his previous life.
If he say no nim de o ye worry the rabba e twam no.
You are chasing them to kill them, and even it was that purpose why he came there.
Say dey na afi o kanenu osifa tawo mu e Paul makum na enumpo ene de ne ba ho.
But for Paul saw to change to Paul, and all of a sudden wanting to preach, and they saw him preaching the gospel, they did not believe.
Na say Saul, Ebes San Ababaya Paul, Nambofima, Wafitias, Kanya Missam, Nafi, Omuntimin.
Barnabas had a great deal to convince them. That's why they were calling him son of encouragement, Barnabas, to encourage the entire church to accept Paul.
Barnabas, Onya, Juma, Sunye, Sao, O Casa, Asha, Sonin, Kunasa, Omunji, Paul, and Tum.
But is that how God deals with us?
Na Sanya Opo, Oni, and Tanan.
If God would deal with our past behavior, who would even be here? Cast your minds back. The past behavior, abominable to God. Even today, yesterday is past. Remember the abominable things you do to God. If God will deal with us that way, are we going to be saved? In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, that was quoted from Jeremiah 31, 34. God said, "And their sins I will blot out, and it will never come to mind anymore." So when people have committed mistake in the past, or you know their past, and you want to use them to say that because of that you won't have any good relationship with them, then you are not being in the good adoption rate or completion
in the
church. Then avoid stereotyping. Avoid stereotyping. And by stereotyping, we are saying, do not allow our experiences with one person to color our attitude toward that individual's entire group.
In
John chapter 1, verse 46, Philip saw Jesus and called his brother Nathanael, that come, we have seen the Messiah that was written about in the Old Testament, Moses wrote about. Then he asked him, where did he come from? He said, in Nazareth. Then he said, will anything good come out from Nazareth?
Because
Philip had a prejudiced conception about the city of Nazareth. That nothing good will ever come out of it. Just because, for all you know, he had an encounter with a few of them. And so he has ruled them out. And Philip, Nathanael told him, come and see. Come and see. If you say nothing will come out, now see, it has come out. And we have this in our cultural background before we came to Christ. Subtly, it is there. If you don't watch it, it is one of the serious things preventing us to be members of one another. All
Ewes
are like this. All
Ewes
are like this. All Asantes are like this. All Akans are like this. In our subconscious mind, we have it there. And these things keep on coming, especially at a time when it matters most.
You realize
that it is there. And this is one of the greatest weapons the devil is using to fight in the church. So when we avoid stereotyping, it will enable us to have one another beautifully. It doesn't matter our cultural background. When we came to Christ, he accepted us one body in Christ, washed with his blood. In Acts chapter 17, Paul reminded the people that God made from one man all nations, from one man, not from two men. And we are all adopted into one original son of God, not two sons. And so when we do that, it means we are not from God, but we are following the line of the devil. Then also avoid contrast effects. By contrast effect, we are saying that when our reaction to a person is often influenced by other people we recently encountered.
And I was saying, you don't say you be jai say obiniano, as every name say a cocoa.
Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 5, which is our text, is telling us that all members have differing talents and abilities.
But
the differing abilities complement one another to make a complete body. So the fact that you met somebody who was super, and you are now meeting somebody that when you compare, it is not the same, doesn't mean that the person is also not important. In fact, God has given individual differences. Look at our term. No two human beings' term are the same. Have you thought about that? And all our fingertips, they are not the same. So first, when we wanted to maybe travel outside and etc., and maybe you go to American embassy and you want visa, and maybe you were not given, you quickly go and change the passport, and you find a new passport and go. When they ask you, have you been refused before? You say no.
Until you have canoe, no nanka beto tukwa inwa ko embassy navy ya ko yasio ya mfan ma no wa ba abaye passport foforo.
Because you know that if you say yes, they will refuse you again.
If you say,
and so they were, all those lies were going on, and so now they started using the finger trips. You come and put it there, bang.
And
because no two human beings have the same, once you do that, anytime you come, they ask you again, put your hand there.
And all your unique information
will come, brah. They need not to ask you any question. They know everything. Because God created us individually differently. And so when you are comparing somebody with somebody, you are making a great mistake. Let us avoid contrast effect and accept one another, because what you think that person is having is small is complementing what you have to make a body, a one whole. And it is our
subina was here, Jive. He said, where the yes from Kuna or Saint Kiswa, and now where the yes from Kuna Casino. Then you know, I can't boom, I'm an abbey.
Then last on that list is avoid projection. By projection is the tendency of attributing one's own characteristics to other people.
Now we see a Jesus say the yankasi froso.
This can distort perception made about others. That is what Romans 12:4 is saying. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think.
And untina Roman 4 human change
Don't compare yourselves to yourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul admonished the church that it is not wise to compare yourself among yourselves.
Yeah, Paul actually said,
if you want to compare yourself among somebody, then it is with Jesus Christ. Then you will see how short you are. How fallen you are. How you need His grace. The religious leaders of Jesus' day projected their negative desires for Jesus throughout His life. They were thinking that just as they wanted and they were doing, and you know what the Jews were doing? Anytime a Jew will come out, it is for vain glory. They are so happy with titles and authorities. They do showmanship for people to see. And Jesus knew their heart. Yes, that so their heart was not there, they were just showing off. And so when Jesus came and started talking authoritatively and people were following him, they were thinking that, hey, akwei damayan die bi no babeje enyonyam enyonyam vain glory, he is coming for vain glory, and they attack him throughout because of their negative projection of what they will have done if they were Jesus. Enti wo mra Jesus so buy na afi wo kasa wo tumi sunu na afi omani nyi hukase eh akwe de eh no wa be ye bia na enti afi omudi de omwo nyina ekọ kutia Jesus. In John chapter 12 verse 19, when Jesus sat on a donkey to Jerusalem, Hosanna, and they were conferring among themselves, hey, we are failing, no? Look, the whole crowd is following him. So that's their problem.
Now, I'm right. Yes, Christo, tina, a full moon, so now, konomu tu, ozano, ozano, no. Na, fe, ompenyu, kwan, se, hey, yedi, yedi, nkuku, re, amayini, amayini, yina, ne, di, ne, chiyo.
So Paul is saying, you don't want to be conformed to this world, fine. You want to be transformed, fine. How do you do it? By the renewing of your mind.
And nunti, dear Paul, can say, ani, umpeso, be, yese, we are say, I'm ani.
And we have said that we need to renew our mind against prejudice. We also need to renew our mind by changing our attitude. An attitude is an emotional readiness to do something. And I have a wonderful quotation from Reynold Nebo. I like it so much. Reynold Nebo quoted this, and we normally call it the serenity prayer. And he said, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
You can say, Nyankopo, Mr. Mami, Adjinimu, Ahetie, Senye, Beya, and Nyoma, Mintmint, Sisayim, Frihunu, Mitmi, Adjiatun.
The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. There are certain things you can't do anything about it. There are things you can do something about it. The ability to know the difference is wisdom. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 to 25.
Now, what someone woman you know?
When you get time, you read the passage, but I will just tell you what is there. David's son was very sick. Very sick, and David said, no, I don't want my son to die.
David said, oh,
David fasted.
David,
he prayed. He put ashes on his head. He wore sackcloth. He wept. He would not let anybody to comfort him. He said, God, don't let my son die. Don't let my son die. Then one day the son died. And the people were afraid to tell David. He saw that all of a sudden all his servants were going away from him. Because even when the son was not there, look at the demeanor of David, King David. So who bear the cat? They were afraid. Who would tell him that the son is there? But David is a wise man. He saw the sin. Then he said, what is happening? Why are everybody running away from me? Is my son dead? Then they replied, oh, King David, let this information we are going to give to you be the information for your enemies.
He said,
enough. Bring me food to eat. Bring me food to eat. Bring me water to bath. Then the people were saying that, sorry, the man has gone insane. No, I'm not insane. I can't change what has happened. What I could do before he died, I did all. He cannot come back to where I am now. I rather will go to where he is. And so why do you tell me that I'm insane? Yeah, it's an example of accepting what you can change. So anybody that you think his attitude is not good and you want to change, the number one rule is change your own attitude towards him. Because you can't change his or her attitude. And so what the other time Brother Gillard was saying, he gave example about somebody and a husband, and the husband will come and throw his socks everywhere, if you could remember.
And it is a mekaya or Adano Nigerial Air Casano or my infatuous will be a new Kuno Banod in the socks. Abetum Panoso.
And so, if the wife realizes that this, I can't change my husband, he's made up of it.
And when she said, "Oh, you know, say, ah, me kuni wediye, me se sanu enye ye sa no tia."
The wife rather can do something.
E hono na pe o yinu betimi aye bibi.
She can change her attitude.
O betimi aye so no o yinu ni su.
That this is what I've come to take.
The way any dem ma be fa.
This is my husband.
Mi kunu no oniye.
Nothing can change that.
Bibi anyu ha betimi aye san.
Only prayer I can pray for him.
Empire pe na betimi
aye. So I accept him who he is.
Enu ti me gini tum se de o te.
That is, you have changed your attitude toward that attitude.
Na enu se what is one kasa usu a e hwe sa onipa no su no.
The second thing you can do about attitude is you can remove the conditions that exist before the unpleasant attitude is exhibited.
So
still with that example.
Now
the husband is coming home. He knows very well that he's going to throw the socks everywhere.
He's
going to remove the tie and throw it on the fan.
He's
going to remove the shoe and leave it in the room. So here is the woman going to remove the conditions that will not allow him to do that. She runs to meet the husband on the way. I said, "Hello, darling."
"Hello, darling.
I can see you are very tired. Let me help you with your tie." Then he brings him and says, "Before, take some water before. Let me remove your shoes for you. And your socks."
And your socks.
What a romantic addition to their marriage. And I tell you that this woman did that. And they lived ever happily after. Case died because he has removed the conditions that preceded the unpleasant attitude. It won't
come.
Then finally, he can also remove the condition that comes after the disliked attitude.
And if you with me, sir, tibia ema esuna ompeno ebe edediwia.
Previously, he would do that and he would yearn and he would shout at him, "Bushman, etc." This time, no.
He won't do that.
Persuasiveness, rather. In fact, until somebody comes to realize that his attitude is not good himself to change, you can never change it.
One another,
it is the same thing. Let us try as much as possible. Somebody is saying that this thing I don't like. You too. That is the very thing you will do to annoy the person.
So that
you get a chance to stand that this person is quick-tempered. And you know he's quick-tempered and say, "I don't like this," and you continue to do. Instead of removing the preceding condition, that will not bring that thing.
Brethren,
we have a lot to do. This one another series will help us to bond very well. The last one before I sit down is follow Jesus' conflict resolution principle of humility, forgiveness, love, and action. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23-25, it's also in Matthew 18, he said, "Be sensitive to offending others when you are going to give your alms at the altar. And remember that somebody has something against you." He said, "Go to the person." Go to the person so that you talk it over and it will be over. Again, in Matthew 18:15-18, he said, "The one that you have also be offended, you should also initiate a reconciliation by going to the person you think has offended you." And so it means that both are taking initiation for reconciliation. He didn't say that go and tell people. He didn't say take a video, now it is online, and talk on it and blast people because they are doing something wrong. And the people who are there, you won't contact them.
Say what you want to see a video now. If you on social media, so now did it do what you know?
Because you are the epitome of Bible. In fact, God's son cry, you are better than him. You understand the scripture so much that if a brother in the church has even offended, so you think. You won't even go to the people, you won't even go to the elders, you even go, you take a video and you shout and you talk, streamline the whole world about what is happening. And what about if later you realize that you were wrong? What will you do?
Na sa wo de wonu bia ya mfunso bia tia wo anko ne nchen wo anko osofo nchen wo anko asafo mpenyimfo nchen wa fa video na wa ya wiase nyina ehu na sa eche wo behu se wo mom na wodi fo a e de na abeye.
Gone are those days. But I want to tell you that I encourage each and every one of you to take your Bible and read yourself. Nobody can deceive anybody any longer. The Bible can be read by all. And so we keep on learning, and if your brother has heard, go to him and discuss with him. Because you want to save him.
If you say, oh,
for all you know, by the end, you rather will be saved. So it is good for both of us. Please, let's stop these things and be united with one another. Jesus has given a principle we should follow for reconciliation. If you see something going on in another church, congregation, you can say it's about individual. You can contact the individual. In light with the scriptures. If he agrees with you, fine. If he doesn't, you call two people to come. That's what the Bible said. If not, tell the church. The this is a beautiful reconciliatory process there. But we don't do it. A lot of perception and prejudice all over. Brethren, let me end here. We'll continue next time. What are we saying today? We are saying that the universe was created based on the principle of a member of one another. Because God has one original son, no more, no less. One. He created the world through him and for him alone. He, with an incomprehensible love, decided to adopt us in the Son alone. That we will share in his glory. Therefore, don't let us be proud. Romans 12:1-2 is key, that the incomprehensible mercies of God should guide our wills to be members of one another. Then how can we do that? By transforming and renewing our minds. That is the only way we can sustain our ability to be members of one another. Then what should we transform our minds in? We have learned that we should renew our minds and overcome all challenges arising from prejudices. We should change attitude and follow Jesus' conflict resolution process. May the good Lord bless us. May he guide us. If we are erred in this era, may he forgive us. That really we be one another, member one another indeed. Because it simply means that if my brother is happy, then I'm happy. If my brother is not happy, I can never be happy.
That is the
May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.